Well, good morning again. It's really great to be here on this incredibly warm Sunday. Isn't it crazy? I'm going to speak out of that Bible reading that we heard a few moments ago, Acts 2, verses 1 to 13. But I'm not going to read it again. A few years ago, actually lots of years ago if I'm honest, I found myself in a small prayer meeting. There were about a dozen of us, we were in somebody's lounge, and my friend Bev asked us to pray for her because she'd got a stomach ache. She was suffering from a number of stomach problems and she wanted prayer. Simple enough, because I'd prayed for people before. But as we gathered around and we started to pray, Bev started to make some really strange noises. She started to double over and she started to moan and to groan, and it got louder. And I remember standing there and thinking, is she going to be sick? But also, what exactly have I walked into here? Part of me wanted to slip quietly away and leave the room. But I also noticed something else in that moment. And that was the people around me, they weren't panicking. They were in it. They were praying with a passion and a focus I didn't have. And I realized in that moment, I was the outsider. I was watching something from the edge, and I had a choice to make: step in or step back. And I stepped in, and Bev's stomach ache went away. Now, I don't want to make a big deal of healing this morning. That's not really where I want to go, although healing, when we pray, an incredibly important thing. But I'm starting here because that moment of hesitation, do I lean in or do I back away, is the experience of thousands of people crowded in the streets of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And if we're honest, that might be where some of us are sitting today. So let's go over to Jerusalem in our minds. We can imagine the buzz, the atmosphere of this celebration scene. And if we can think of the biggest celebration we've ever gone to, the noise, the crowds, the everything that would be going on, that gives us some idea as to what was happening as Jews from all over the city for one of their main three pilgrimage festivals. It was a mega harvest festival called Pentecost. And on that same day, there were a group of Jesus followers meeting in a house to pray and to encourage one another as they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. They didn't know when the Holy Spirit was going to come, and they didn't know how the Holy Spirit was going to come. They had no idea what this event would mean for them then, or what it would mean for the church today. They had no idea how their lives were going to be changed. All they knew was that they'd been told to wait. So they waited together, all in one place. Now, we don't know how many people there were in the room. That lovely little Lego clip suggested just a few. The Bible says maybe there were 120, because that's what Luke mentions in chapter 1. And whether it was as few as we saw on that video or as many as 120, what Luke emphasizes is a oneness in that room. They were all together in one place. They shared a oneness in their experience of Jesus. They shared a oneness in their anticipation of what was to come. This oneness meant that they'd set themselves apart from the hustle and the bustle outside to be still and to wait for God. And this oneness that they had with each other made them different to what I want to call the otherness of those who were outside the house. And I think we probably get the picture, don't we? Because it's no different to our experience of church today. The worldwide church is a oneness. It's called to a oneness with God and with one another. And there may be diversity in style of worship, and there may be diversity in terms of which priority we put on the Bible and which bits of the Bible. Nevertheless, there is a oneness amongst those who are following Jesus, which is different to the otherness of those who haven't yet decided to live life this way. Luke tells us that the Holy Spirit comes into this place of oneness, but he makes it quite clear that the Holy Spirit isn't intended to be confined to this holy space or this holy huddle of worshippers. For a start, the noise of the Spirit could be heard outside as well as inside the house. And that started to draw a crowd of people together to find out where the noise was coming from. Then we read that as soon as everyone in the room had been filled with the Holy Spirit, they experienced this miraculous phenomenon which enabled them to speak in a foreign language which they'd not been to language classes to learn. And I imagine that by this stage, the oneness in the room started to feel a bit chaotic as multiple languages were being spoken. It got messy. The peace and the decorum had been disrupted, and it got the attention of those who'd gathered outside. They didn't understand how uneducated Galileans could speak in so many different languages, including their own particular mother tongue. This amazing act of God shows us a profoundly important purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled people who were at one with God through Jesus for the purpose of drawing the other towards that same place of oneness, faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. The Holy Spirit filled people who were at one with God through Jesus for the purpose of drawing the other towards that same place of oneness, a faith in Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a missional gift for everyone. One of the purposes of the gift of the Holy Spirit is for the benefit of the others, those who've not yet found or decided to follow Jesus, as well as for us, the church. And this is a key principle for us to understand today. Our oneness, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, enables us to impact communities of otherness all around us. The Holy Spirit is power. The power of God, which blows through the church and empowers us for mission to benefit those who are not yet in that place of oneness with Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost was explosive in terms of the church, then and today. It's a really exciting aspect of the Holy Spirit's work, isn't it? Do we long for God to move powerfully like this in our church today, just as he did at Pentecost? Now, I expected when I asked that question that there'd be one or two people that went, The right answer is yes. But if we're honest, we often have some degree of apprehension or even fear when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be afraid to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit because we're worried that the Holy Spirit just might not show up. But sometimes we're more frightened that he might. It's not unusual to be nervous about where the Holy Spirit might take us as an individual or as a church. But I wonder, what would it look like if the Holy Spirit broke out in each of us here today? Those who were first filled with the Holy Spirit found themselves compelled to step out in faith and talk about Jesus. They found a courage that they hadn't had before. But there's something else in this story. There's something else that happened when the Holy Spirit came, and something that might be closer to home for us. These first disciples weren't just given a boldness, they were given a new language, not their language. The language of the people outside, the language of the other. And I wonder whether sometimes that's where we fear or are resistant. Because we have our own language here in church, don't we? Words like salvation and grace and redemption and sin. We know what we mean by these words. They're rich and important and they're true. But step outside of these walls and try using those words in a conversation with your neighbour or your colleague or your friend who thinks that church isn't for them. You'll see their eyes starting to glaze over. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost doesn't tell the crowd to come inside and learn the language. He equipped the disciples to go out, to go outside and to speak theirs. And this is a challenge to us because it means that the Holy Spirit might not only want to give us courage, but creativity, not just fire, but fluency, the language of those around us who don't yet know Jesus. It means learning to talk about hope and meaning and belonging and purpose in ways that connect with others rather than confuse. That can feel uncomfortable, and it can sometimes feel like a loss. It can feel like we're watering down something, but we're not. We're doing exactly what those first disciples did. We're letting the Spirit take what is true and make it understood. Now, some of those that we speak to won't understand. The disciples were accused of having hit the bottle too early in the morning. But others were amazed at what was going on, and that can be our experience as well. So our challenge is, will we be cautious or even afraid about what others might think and how they might respond, or will we let the Holy Spirit be the power of God and work through and within us? Just as each Jew in the crowd who saw this miraculous power of God was faced with a decision, so was I when I was in that prayer meeting with my friend Bev. Would I join in or would I walk away? In the end, I decided not to be the weak link and I went with the flow. I didn't really know what of the Spirit was going on, but I do know that Bev's stomach pains went away. And that was one of several experiences that I've enjoyed, which have developed a greater faith and a much deeper openness to the work of the Holy Spirit within me. I'm so grateful that so many years ago, I adopted that posture of oneness with God and oneness with the other believers that were in that room. And that was more important than my personal preference or my understanding or what I felt comfortable with or what I thought I could control. And the Holy Spirit blows through our lives, sometimes God will do surprising things. Sometimes what even feels disruptive. But whatever God does when the Holy Spirit blows through, it's always a transformational thing with a mission purpose and potential. Now, one of the best illustrations I've come across for helping us visualize the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit in our lives is popcorn and the great reveal. Popcorn starts out as a kernel, but when it's exposed to power in the form of heat, it puffs up and it turns into something wonderful. And so it is with our lives when the Holy Spirit is at work. The kernels represent the disciples hidden away, waiting. And they can also represent the way we often feel, ordinary and not necessarily very effective. But when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they preached their socks off and 3,000 people were saved. And when the Holy Spirit blows through us, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. As the Holy Spirit works on us and within us, we start to fulfill our missional purpose and do great things. I'm just going to check I've got some heat on this. If it explodes, I might scream. Yeah. Right. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is healing. Physical, maybe like my friend Bev, maybe emotional, things from the past, things that are even going on at the moment today, and spiritual. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is repairing brokenness in ourselves, in relationships, and in our wider community life. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is releasing something new or breaking down a barrier which is preventing that new thing from being birthed. Sometimes the transformational work of the Holy Spirit is renewing something that has become old and tired or stale. When popcorn kernels are exposed to heat, they pop. They pop into a transformed state. They move. Great, I was hoping this would happen. It's bad sitting on the front line just occasionally. Hey? When popcorn is exposed to heat, they pop. Yeah? They pop into a transformed state. They move. And so it is when the Holy Spirit works in our lives. We're moved to share more with the people around us. Look at the mess I'm creating. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But you know, I encourage you to come and eat a piece, not off the floor. It's delicious. Absolute delicious. We're moved to share more of what it means to follow Jesus with others around us. Pentecost didn't stay in that house. It spilled out into the streets, into the noise, into the crowds, and the thousands of people who'd simply come to Jerusalem for a festival. They had no idea what... shouldn't have eaten that popcorn. They got no idea what was going to hit them. 3,000 people found faith that day because a small group of ordinary, frightened, waiting people finally stopped holding back and they let God move. That is not an ancient story. That is the nature of the Holy Spirit. He does not stay contained. He does not stay quiet. He's not a historical curiosity that we read about and we learn about from a safe distance. He's here right now, and he is always moving us towards the other, towards people in your street and your workplace and your family, your friendship group, those who haven't yet found Jesus. Those who don't yet know what it is to be in oneness with God. God wants to move through you to get to your friends and your neighbours and your colleagues. So we're going to respond now. We're going to pass around some kernels of popcorn. Just don't want that to burn. The great thing about, or the interesting thing about popcorn, is that some of the kernels pop, and some of the kernels don't. Yeah? It's an illustration of, are we in, or do we step back? Do we step away? So I'm going to pass around some bowls of popcorn kernels. You can just take a small handful and pass them on. We're going to use this as an opportunity for prayer and response. If you're on the back row, I haven't got a bowl for you, just come and grab from the other area. Lovely. It'll be come down from the back. Yep, that's great. Alan, if I can get you to, or Mary, maybe take some popcorn and pass the bowls forward. Guys, you've got some. Here we are. There we are. That's great. If I could just ask you to pass that back. Just take a small handful of popcorn. Has everybody who wants kernels of popcorn got kernels of popcorn? Not going to suggest you eat them. They're a bit hard. Everybody got popcorn that wants some popcorn? Well, kernels, that is. What I'd like you to do, first of all, is just to hold these kernels in your hand. Yeah, and just have a look at them. They are really ordinary. They're uncompromised. They're unpromising. They're really not much to look at all. But kernels were never intended to stay kernels. And my question is really simply this. Are you willing today to be exposed to the heat? Are you willing to say to God, whatever you want to do in me, whatever you want to do through me, I'm not backing away from this. I'm stepping in. Stepping in to healing. Stepping in to transformation. Stepping in to restoration. Maybe you would consider yourself today to be part of that otherness. And today you want to say, I choose to be part of the oneness. I choose not to step back, but to step forward. So I'm going to pray, as we hold these kernels. When the Holy Spirit blows through an ordinary life, he does something quite extraordinary. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. And I know he would like to do this through you. If you want to come as we pray and throw your kernels in this pot, I can't guarantee they'll explode, but it will be something that is symbolic before God that says, don't leave me like this, but turn me into something like this that those in my community can enjoy, can feed on, can find themselves changed and different. So let's pray. Father God, we've had fun with popcorn, but Lord, you know that this is what you want to do in our lives, to take something ordinary, something quite unpromising, something maybe even just hard and small, and turn it into something different. Holy Spirit, would you come this morning and give us a courage and a boldness that we haven't known before to say, please God, yes, I'm in, I'm stepping forward. And Lord, would you give us a creativity that enables us to see those people and those situations that you're calling us to be in and not backing away from. And Lord God, would you give us a fluency, not of being able to speak about the Bible and theology and all of that good and important stuff alone, but a fluency that allows us to speak the language of those around us so that those we love and we work with and those that we live near, those that we encounter at the bus stop or in Tesco's, Lord, would you give us a fluency that enables us to speak simply and confidently and boldly about you? And would you draw the other into this place of oneness, into your worldwide church? Amen.